Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, Gavin Cullen joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat. We hear from the Letterkenny Gaels camp ahead of their Ulster Club Championship debut this weekend. Joint manager Paul Mullock looks ahead to another historic occasion for the Gaels. And Miles Gallagher will be giving us a rundown on the National Cross Country Championships, which are coming to the county for just the second time later this month. And at Swift Gaelic Games, we begin. Letterkenny Gaels are heading into uncharted territory this weekend when the club play in the Ulster Championship for the very first time in their short history. Following their historic Donegal Championship success, the Gaels take on Armagh champions Derry Noose and Crossmaglen on Sunday in the Provincial Junior Football Championship. We'll have live coverage from that game here in Highland. Dermot Doherty and Gary McDade will be the team of Highland in Crossmaglen for that tie, which throws in at 1:30. Our coverage in association with Century Complex Letterkenny. Well, Dermot looked ahead to the game this week, where he caught up with Letterkenny Gaels joint manager Paul Mullock.
Paul, we're 2 weeks on from the county final and that memorable victory over Cardona. I'm sure you celebrated that win in style, and rightly so, but it's down to brass tacks and preparing now for another big game.
Yeah, we had a great night that Sunday night in Arena 7, and all the boys definitely celebrated it well. Like, you know, so the big thing for us now moving forward is to get the boys back out training again, which we've done the following Saturday, and there's been a big buy-in as well to this Ulster Club Championship. So we're hopeful now that they can prepare themselves well for the next 7 days, and hopefully this day next week we go to Derry Noose and playing them in Crossmaglen, and we're hoping that we can put in a performance, and if we put in the performance, we can hopefully, you know, that a result will hopefully follow with that, like, you know.
Yeah.
As we know, there's no guarantees, like, you know, but the performance is what we're looking for, yeah, again on the day, and not let the occasion get to us, like, you know, because it's a new chapter for the lads, like. So, in regards to Derry Noose, like, you know, they're the Armagh champions. There's no team that ever comes out of any Armagh championship competition that's going to be light or lightweight, like, you know, so we're expecting a massive tussle. So we're and we'll hopefully be ready for it.
Yeah, it's new territory for Letterkenny Gaels, and I'm sure yourself as well, Paul. You're obviously going to do a wee bit of homework on the opposition, but as you say, expecting nothing easy.
No, we're expecting nothing easy. Derry Noose probably likely have their homework done on us. They won the Ulster or the Armagh Club Championship the week before us, so they would have been knowing that they were playing the Donegal Championship, so they probably were up at the Donegal County Final or possibly watched it on television. Like, likewise with modern technology now, it's everybody gets a chance to look at everybody in these competitions because of recordings and one thing and another. And we have seen Derry Noose play Middletown and play Lisumen, and they're a formidable side, like, you know, with plenty of quality mixed throughout their team. Like, you know, they have a former Armagh goalkeeper, and they have a former Armagh panelist, like, you know, so they have plenty of quality throughout their side, like, you know. So but likewise, so do we. We have enough quality, and they'll know that we have plenty of quality also, like, you know. So it'll be boiled down to you on the day which team is prepared the best for the day, and probably if weather conditions are like they are today, hopefully it'll be a good entertaining game for the spectators. But overall, you know, we're not going up to Crossmaglen just to make up the numbers on the back of winning an Ulster Donegal county title. We're looking at this Ulster competition as getting more football for the lads, and every day we go out, hopefully we'll, you know, lead us to get in another game.
Yeah, and because there are teams that have done well in Ulster out of Donegal in the past, you know, Paul, probably took it one game at a time and all of a sudden found themselves in a provincial decider.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, if you go back and within the last 5 years, you have Nave Columkill and Red Hughes both went on to one Ulster Junior Championships, and then you have Ed Buncrana perform fairly well. I think Buncrana might have been beaten in Ulster Final, and Downies were beaten in Ulster Final last year. So there is history there with Donegal teams performing well in Ulster Junior Championships in recent years. We're just hopeful that we can probably keep that tradition going, but we're not taking anything for granted. Like, you know, we know that every team that gets through to this stage here is going to be formidable, you know, and we're looking at Derry News. We're not looking any further than Derry News at the moment. And like, you know, they have won their first Armagh Junior Championship, something like 37 years. So they're in new territory also, and they'll be looking at it and approaching the same way as us. It's a journey that they're going to go on together, and possibly they would have looked at the Armagh Junior Championship as a priority for themselves at the start of the season, as we did in Donegal. We weren't looking beyond Donegal at that point, like, you know, and we set our targets back in January as to maintain Division 2 status and perform as well as we possibly could in the Junior Championship, and hopefully that would be enough to get us over the line, which it was. So moving forward now to the Ulster Junior Championship, we have refocused and we have set our targets just to take each game as it comes, try and maximise the performance, and let's see where that takes us.
Okay. Well, listen, for you yourself, I know you're always a proud Neve Padraic Lifford man, and you're in charge now with Dougie Corbett, your first year with Letterkenny Gaelspaul. I mean, listen, I know the target was always do well in Division 2, go as far as you could in the Junior Championship, but this is new territory now. I mean, this is bonus territory, I would imagine.
Yeah, this is bonus territory here. As you say, like, I'd have been involved with Lifford in their first Junior Championship final in 1999 as a player and as part of the backroom team. And at that stage in Lifford, we were looking at possibly a Junior Championship driving us on to further glories or whatever. It didn't really materialise over there. We lost 4 junior finals in the space of 12 years. And never got out of junior football once in 2013. Went on to play Division 3 Intermediate League and Intermediate Championship. But for the Gaels now, you know, we have won the Junior Championship. We've moved on to Intermediate Football. And this Ulster Junior Club here against Derry News, as I say, it's a journey. Most of the players, if you ask them, they'll turn around and tell you they never want to play in this competition again. And the reason they never want to play in this competition again is because they never want to be down playing junior level football again. So their ambitions are high. Their ambitions is to consolidate Intermediate and possibly drive the club on to greater success. And I think that, personally, that's a great attitude to have. Like, you know, that this is a competition that they're only hoping to ever play in once. You know, it's not something. You don't want a roller coaster between intermediate and junior football. When you get then from junior to intermediate, you want to consolidate your intermediate status and move on. It's about playing the highest possible level of football that you can at any particular time. And this group of players, as I say, there's an awful lot of talented players within here. And we're actually involved with the under 21 squad as well this year within the club. And some of them have filtered into training in the last number of weeks. And there's a lot of good talent coming through from there as well. Like, you know, so the future is bright for Letterkenny Gaels. So hopefully now that, you know, over the next number of years, consolidation at intermediate football, and, you know, whoever it is, and whether it's myself and Dougie are here long enough to take them to another level, you know, but we don't want to definitely take them down a level. We want to keep them at the same level and possibly take them to the next level if possible.
Yeah. And it's amazing what success brings, Paul. There's a great buzz about the place, isn't there?
There is. There's a fantastic buzz around the club. The club have really, really embraced us. They've known for a number of years now that they've been very, very close. You know, when you've had previous management like Sean McBurdy and John McDermott, even Charlie Cannon and James Gordon, like, you know, have all been involved and got very, very close. I suppose people will say we've been very, very lucky this year. We've not had a lot of injuries, and one thing and another, which has probably kept us, helped keep the what you would call a consistent team together on the pitch, which is a massive help in championship football. And we've got that rub of the green, you know, and even in the county final, like, when things were going against us, you know, we made the decisions, and the decisions worked for us. On another day, they might not have worked, and basically, you know, you could have been coming away empty-handed, but from the club's perspective, the overall club, from everybody from the chairman right down to the youngest player in the club, like, you know, they've really, really enjoyed this. And that's the way a championship should be. Like, you know, it's not about one or two individuals or about a certain individuals. It's about a collective effort, because to get a club to where they were on the 16th of October, it takes an awful lot of effort from an awful lot of people, and it takes an awful lot of years to get that. Like, you know, and even, you know, when you go to the senior clubs, they're no different. It's the effort that's put in by people behind the scenes, you know, over at the likes of St. Junan's down in Glenties, and I would know quite a few of them fairly well, like, you know, and they've left no stone unturned down through the years. They try and maximise the performance of their teams, get everybody out playing, get everybody enjoying the game, you know, and then it's about when you get people enjoying the game, you can turn it into a kind of like a small family venture where everybody believes in each other and everybody trusts one another, and that's the future for any club.
Well, listen, we wish you all the best next Sunday.
No bother, Jeremy. Thanks very much.
That's Paul Mullock, the joint manager of Letterkenny Gaels, talking to Jeremy Doherty, looking ahead to that Ulster Club quarter-final, which is taking place this coming Sunday in Cross McGlen. Derry Noose, the Armagh champions, are the opposition on an historic day for the Gaels. We can't forget about Donegal's other representation at provincial level this coming Sunday. Setanta, the Donegal hurling champions. Remember now, they were crowned champions. You're talking the guts of 2 months ago, so they've had a long wait to get into Ulster action. They're playing Owen Rua from Tyrone at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. That's a quarter final of the Ulster Junior Hurling Championship. Starts at 1:30 as well. And we'll also have updates from that game on Sunday afternoon. It is, of course, locally a very busy weekend in the under 21 front once again, with matches being played in the football A, B and C. There's also hurling championship games to be played on Sunday. But two of the standout ties this weekend are in the under 21 A North section, with St. Union's up against McCool's, and Terman are playing Gweedore. Both those games start on Saturday at 2 o'clock. And there's a massive big derby as well in the under 21 group south on Sunday, with Kilcar taking on Killybegs. To football, the League of Ireland Premier Division season is almost done and dusted. The final series of games takes place this coming Sunday evening. Already relegated Finn Harps end their campaign at Drogheda United, while Derry City host Dundalk in the Brandywell. A draw will be enough for Derry to secure second, but Dundalk would need to win by 3 goals to overtake the Candy Stripes. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen. So Gavin, heading into the closing weekend of League of Ireland Premier Division action, and most of the stuff was all sorted out, I suppose, at this stage, Gavin. And we'll start with Finn Harps. If we go back to 2005, you were part of a side that was relegated with one game to go as you were set to make the drop down to the First Division. It's a similar case with Finn Harps this time around after what took place last week. So it's a different sort of game for Harps as they stare relegation in the face. How did you, I suppose, take on that challenge way back in 2005, knowing that you were going down with one game to play?
Look, the last game was pretty dull affairs. It was, I think, if I remember correctly, it was home to Bray, which we lost. But look, it was hugely disappointing. The season itself in 2005, was the league was very strong. I think Cork City won the league that season, and it was a tough season. Look, we battled and we were close and we were thereabouts, but we just weren't good enough in the end. Felix started the season as manager, and Anthony Gorman took over during the season, and look, things really didn't change that much. Anthony then took over for the next season, and he had a full rebuilding process with the squad for 2006 in the First Division, which was tough, and there was a hell of a lot of new players, and a hell of a lot of young players got opportunities at the time too, which was good, but it was tough again. I think we only finished around fourth or so in the First Division the next season, so again, it was an hour disappointing. So it's a big, for a club, especially a club like Harps, it has a big knock-on effect, relegation has, you know.
Yeah, and if we look at this season as it went on, was the writing on the wall for relegation? And when you break down, I suppose, the matches and the figures and the games, how it went along, the side that actually relegated you, when you can't beat them in that season, the sort of writing's on the wall, so it is, Gavin?
Yeah, look, it obviously boiled down to the games against UCD. Themselves, UCD and Harps are sort of cut well adrift of Drogheda and Shelburne above them, so it was a two-horse race for relegation for a long period of time, and a lot of talk was about the UCD game at the second last game of the season being the big one, and it obviously turned out to be. Now, UCD got 7 points out of the last 9, which is some turnaround, which they haven't done all season, so they've had form at the right time, and obviously with Harps, they've been in a real poor run of form. They haven't won them, I'm not too sure, 6 or 7 games, and that's just not good enough. 1-4 games all season is just not good enough. They have the worst defensive record in the league as well. So, look, all in all, you can't argue with the stats, you can't argue with the performances. Again, we all held out hope that with Ollie and the experiences that he had as a manager and the group, that you know, they would know how to get a few results and pull it out of the bag, more so than UCD. But obviously that wasn't the case. So, look, hugely disappointing. And hugely, the game itself against UCD was disappointing in terms of, I wouldn't say the efforts of the players, but the body language and just the way they lost the game was disappointing. You know, with so much at stake as well.
Yeah. And going on now to the last game against Drogheda United at United Park, does Ollie now maybe let the players that sat on the bench for most of the season, does he give them a starting berth now this weekend?
Yeah, he probably will, but again, it's a non-fixture in terms of the squad, the players. They're just fulfilling the fixture at this point, and the players that are bringing in, they're not really proving a point because of the way the season has went. They don't have a game after that. They get on the team, get on the squad, and whatever. So I would have thought there'd be quite a few changes and they'd give boys minutes, but at the end of the day, whatever team goes out, there's going to be the same sort of feeling, the same sort of build-up of disappointment, and just get the game played and get the season over with at this stage.
Yeah. Well, a couple of questions. What's next for Ollie Horgan, and what's next maybe for Finn Harps? We'll start with Ollie. Gavin?
Oh, well, I suppose the speculation will start, and look, it's really up to Ollie himself. I know last year it was a very good chance that he was stepping away last year, and they stayed on, and fair play to him. You could see this year was a big test, and it was tough on him. You could see in his interviews and his body language. But in the same token, he's been there 9 years, and in my opinion, he's been Harps' best manager in their history. He's been successful to a point on the pitch, and he's kept them in the Premier Division for 4 seasons in a row, which is a massive, massive achievement. And possibly a speculation if he stays or goes, as I say, it's really up to him. I think if he wants to stay, and I think he should be encouraged to stay by the Harps board, I think he's probably the best man out there to get them out of this First Division again and try and keep some sort of resemblance of a squad together. Otherwise, if he goes, I think it's a huge, huge, huge rebuilding process for whoever comes in, and for Finn Harps as a club in general. They need a sort of plan, and a long-term plan of where they want to go and what sort of setup they want. But again, that's a story for another day. At the minute, Ollie's still a manager, and personally, I hope he's still a manager next season as well, because I think there's no better man to take him out of the First Division than him at this point.
Well, what way do the club have to go then, Gavin? Say Ollie is in charge next year, what way do the club have to go? Because it was a case of going season by season by season. Does that have to change?
It has to change. Look, it's there's no doubt about it. The rebuilding processes that Ollie has had to endure and to go through at the end of every season, it isn't plausible. It isn't. As a club like Finn Harps don't have the budget, don't have the money to be rebuilding and go out and sign, and like I think it was 11 players in last winter's transfer window that they lost. You know, that's no good. They have to have a clear plan and a clear sort of a business model as much as anything in terms of both on and off the pitch of what they want to do. And they have to give the manager time and results if they want to go and try and bring players through the academy and have a wee bit more locally based. And like, one, the players need to be good enough, and they need to be produced to be good enough. And two, the management and the coaching and the setup has to be allowed to do that. You know, otherwise, like, it's not sustainable. What Ollie has done over the last 9 years and the turnover of players, it's no good. It's madness, and I think it creates a lot of waste in terms of budgets and players as well, because you don't get them all right, and it's obvious. So I think a clear plan and a clear structure as a club going forward, and create an identity as a club as well, which is hugely important. I don't think Harps have one at the minute.
Okay, well, we'll get this weekend out of the road before we speculate anymore, maybe talk anymore on possible change around Finn Park. But UCD were the side that secured their place in that relegation playoff. It's not done yet for the students from Belfield, because they're going to have to meet the winners of either Galway or Waterford. But was it a case of maybe the structures at UCD compared to that at Harps was the difference between the two sides in the end? And I suppose if you look at the management that UCD have, there's a friend of yours, William O'Connor, of course, that's involved down there. Maybe that process of UCD was also a telling factor with them.
Possibly, yeah. Look, UCD, like, we played them, as Carcoll played them in the FAA Cup earlier on the season, and the facilities and the setup and down there and the professionalism that the club have is second to none, probably as good as anything in the country. And speaking to William through time about that as well, like, everything they need, they require, they get, they want, you know, in terms of, you know, dietitians and sports psychologists, sports nutritionists, all that kind of stuff, and the facilities are brilliant. So, look, they're top class, and I would say that plus the fact that the players that they're dealing with, no, they're not worried about losing, they're not worried about players because they're on scholarships or they're at college, so they're working with the same group of players, and they don't have that big massive turnover that Harps have. So what they're coaching and what they're doing, plus the fact that, look, William, knowing William, he's a top coach, and he's making a real name for himself in the game in Ireland, and that's a testament to what he's doing. And all in all, they probably have the setup a lot better than Van Harps have. Whereas I know Harps are training here, there, and everywhere, and there's no real base and no real facilities to call their own, and that's hard as well for a coaching and management setup to actually plan around as well. So there's a lot of that that could factor into what's happening, you know.
Yep. Can you see William O'Connor progress on in the coaching roles? Obviously, he's been involved at international level at underage, and now he's obviously there with UCD, and he certainly has the talent and the ability to be one of the best coaches in the country. Can you see him stepping up the ladder over the next couple of years, Gavin?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got ambitions. He loves and breathes football, which is huge. But he's a real confidence in his own ability as well as a coach. And he got into coaching at a very young age, and he's went through the badges very quickly as well. So, like, I have no doubt his ambitions are there to do that. And as I say, he's more than capable of what I've seen and what I've experienced with him. Like, he's more than capable of going right to the top of the game here in Ireland, or maybe further abroad as well. Yep. You never know.
What about staying up in the Premier Division? Are UCD good enough to stay there? Because Galway or Waterford, depending on who wins that game on Friday night, it's going to be no easy game in the one-off relegation playoff.
No, it never is. A lot of the times the team coming up from the First Division are coming up with real momentum and real confidence, and the team going in the Premier Division are in a bad run. But this time, UCD are going in with a bit of confidence and a good run. As I say, they've got 7 points out of their last nine, and they look hungry and eager. So it's a very, very difficult one to call. Like, over the season, UCD have had a lot more tests and bigger games than obviously Galway or Waterford. But really, any one of them three are it's too close to call. I'd say I haven't a clue who won it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait to see how it pans out. And I suppose the standout fixture this weekend, Gavin, in the Premier Division involves Cup finalist Derry City. They're hosting Dundalk at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. And there's a lot at stake. There'll be a lot of money at stake when it comes to European football. And it all depends where you finish in the league as well. But Derry know that if they don't get beat by 3-0, they're going to secure that second spot in the Premier Division. But I would say Rory Higgins is getting into this game. And one thing he's not doing is telling his guys not to get beat by 3-0. He'd want to win it.
Ah, certainly, and I think they'll want momentum going into this cup final in a couple of weeks' time as well, which is a massive, massive day for Derry. But again, it'd be hugely disappointing, and I'd be very surprised if Dundalk would beat Derry by 3 in the Brandywell. But look, stranger things have happened, and the last game of the season can throw up surprises as well. Dundalk, as well as Derry, are in a great run of form. And you couldn't argue with them if they did finish second, but it would be a major surprise for me if Derry didn't go out and do the business and get the right result to finish second.
Yeah, and when we go now to the nitty gritty of the league, one game to go, Derry finishing second, and if they can take the cup, that would be seen as a tremendous season under Rory Higgins' management, so it would, and for Derry as they progress forward.
Yeah, I would think so. I think they're slightly ahead of where they expected to be, but Rory's done a brilliant job since coming there. I know there's fairly big budgets involved and there's backing and whatever, but still need to do it on the pitch and still need to get the squad together, and there seems to be a good togetherness in that squad. They seem like there's no poor bad stories or issues coming out of or rumours coming out of the squad or players unhappy and stuff, which is a testament to any management team, but that's also a testament to being successful, and I would say next season you'll see a real title push and real progress in there. They're probably the only club in the country at the minute that can compete with Sam Grovers, so it's a big test for them next season.
Yeah, what would Derry need to do? Just like, there's fine margins here, so there is between the top two, and we've seen it at Shamrock Rovers and Derry City. What would Rory Higgins, from his point of view, need to do with the squad to get that bit closer to Rovers, and if they can overtake them?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, the obviously squad depth of what Rovers had. Like, I watched the game Rovers against Derry and the Brando earlier on the season, and they made a triple substitution. They brought on Richie Toyle, Rory Gaffney, and I think it was Roland Finn together. So that's real depth. That's real squad depth. And I think Derry just probably lack that to a point, but they're getting better. And I think also just if Rory could get an out and out goal scorer, an out and out number nine, I think it would be a huge asset to the squad as well. But look, every club are after that. But other than that, they just need to add around the edges. They've got a very, very good side, some very, very good players there.
Gavin, that's it for this evening. Thanks for joining us on The Score. And as always, enjoy the football the weekend.
That's great. Thanks, Jason.
There you have it, Gavin Cullen talking League of Ireland matters. And as Cockhill Celtic side are also playing this weekend, Saturday afternoon at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Grounds in Cockhill, they will play host to Derry City Reserves. 2 o'clock is the start time there to that one. And the second game in the Ulster Senior League is on Sunday with Bunnagee United up against Finn Harps under-21s. 3 o'clock on Sunday, that one kicks off. There's three matches to be played in the FAI Junior Cup this coming Sunday afternoon. Castlefin Celtic are taking on Greencastle. Glengad FC are playing Kopenny Rovers. And in an all-in-a-showing affair, Alia FC are taking on Buncrana Hearts. Again, those games start at 1:30 on Sunday. There's also matches to be played in both the Inishowen and the Donegal Junior Leagues this weekend, with matches in Donegal Saturday and Sunday, and there's also a programme on Sunday in Inishowen. And it's also said to be a busy weekend of interleague action for Donegal squads. The FAI Youth Interleague and Under-18s gets going on Friday night in Ballyar. Donegal welcome Inishowen. Kick-off at the Diamond Park is 7:45. And the first of the underage SFAI Donegal sides are playing on Friday night as well against Sligo Leitrim. That's at the Lakeview Astro in Letterkenny, and it kicks off at 8 o'clock on Friday. The 16s, the 14s and the 13s all have games on Saturday. The National Cross Country Championship will be held in Donegal for just the second time later this month. Following on from Finn Valley's hosting back in 1999, Cranford AC will welcome the best of the Irish cross-country runners to the driving range at the Rossapenna Hotel and Golf Resort on Sunday the 20th of November. Miles Gallagher did of course spend 30 years with us here at Highland presenting Sunday Sport, but is now very much knee-deep in helping out Cranford AC ahead of this national competition. Miles has been giving me a rundown on what's in the planning and what to expect on the day.
These championships, cross-country championships, began in 1881, and as you mentioned there, just the second time coming to Donegal, and we're delighted to be able to host it in the parish of Meva, up here just outside Downings, between Downings and Carrigart. And it's a big day, obviously, for Cranford Athletic Club, the first club in Donegal, founded by Evan Giles and the late Jim Hunter back in 1961. And it's Evan Giles, as you know, still going strong, chairman of the club, top coach, and has brought many, many athletes national titles, and indeed many of them that were members of Cranford Athletic Club have gone on to be Olympians, internationals, others that have formed clubs. So I suppose you could call him Mr. Athletics in Donegal.
Yeah, it certainly is. And he was rightly, of course, honoured with that, Miles, in recent years at the Donegal Sports Star Awards. But this course that's going to be designated and designed out now for the national cross countries. It's nothing new to Cranford AC. It's an area that they train on regularly down there, and it's in good condition. It's, I suppose, it's a good surface. That links type surface at a driving range and at a golf course is very much suited to cross country running miles.
It sure is. You were down yourself for the Legends Tour down there at the Rosapenna, and you saw the type of terrain that's there. Well, it's exactly the same across the road at the driving range. I suppose we had to get a venue. Eamon and the club have been down in the Rosapenna for 25 plus years, courtesy of the Casey family. Eamon asked the question again, any chance of having an event down there? I think my brother Jerry was heavily involved as well. And they took a look at the venue across the road, and experts came and looked at it to see would it be suitable. And they gave it a thumbs up big time because of the type of terrain that's there. And they'll have a nice compact 1500 metre course divided into 1000 metres and 500 metres. And the emphasis now is on fast running cross country, as distinct of what used to be in the good old days when we were trying to run through muck up to the knees. But nowadays it's about speed, because this will lead on to the European Cross Country Championships, which will be taking place in Turin 3 weeks after the event in Downings. So it's ideal from that point of view. And it's, I suppose, in the long run, a lot of these athletes are also track runners, so that will help them as well. So it'll be good for their endurance along the way, and then good for their track ability later on.
Yeah, you mentioned about the delegation from Athletics Ireland, which have come to Donegal and come to Rosapenna to look at the course. And one man that was part of that is a Donegal man, of course, Paddy Marley. He'd be quite happy to be seeing the event coming to the Northwest.
Yes, a former Cranford Athletic Club member. He joined Eamon and the gang way back in the, let's say, early to mid-60s, subsequently went to Dublin. I asked him the question, did you go to Dublin for work in 69, or did you, well, actually it was earlier, or did you go to compete in athletics? And he said it was to compete in athletics. And he was a very happy man when he made the Irish international team in the 1500 metres against Switzerland back in 69. But he's now a well-recognised official with Athletics Ireland. He's on the competitions committee, and it's the competitions committee that run this event. So he had the right and the honour, as had Brendan McDaid of Letterkenny Athletic Club. He also was on the senior committee, and they were part of the team came down. As a matter of fact, Mark Connolly of Finn Valley is on the juvenile committee. So it just shows the influence that Donegal athletes have and organisers have in Athletics Ireland. They have mushroomed from that first beginning of Cranford Athletic Club to be very high-powered people in athletics. So they came anyway, delighted with the course. Beautiful day when they were there, and to give Cranford the go-ahead. And a lot of work went into the action since, and there will be a lot more between now and the 20th of November.
Yeah, you might just give us an idea, Miles, of sort of the manpower and maybe the women power that's needed for this on the volunteer front, because Cranford are hosting it. They're going to need help from, I suppose, other clubs within the county. And there's a huge number of officials that are coming in to make sure that this event runs smoothly as well, Miles.
Well, yeah, there sure is. For example, in relation to Athletics Ireland, they have 70 officials coming to the area to run the show. You know, you wouldn't expect novices, let's call us, from the point of view of a national event to be running such a big event. So they are coming to run the show, but they need 80 volunteers from the local club. So there are many streams to the whole thing. If I just could give you an idea of some of the things that are required. For example, this is now above and beyond the actual course. So you have parking and traffic management. We are supposed to and will supply at least 1,500 car parking facilities. 1,500. So what's happening in relation to that is that the local voluntary fire service, probably the only one in Ireland, the Irish Coast Guard Mulroy unit based in the parish, they're based in Downing's fire service and based in Kerrygard, and the Garda Síochána are coming together to put that traffic management system in place with volunteers from the club as well. So that's only one example. You have then going to have the presentation area has to be built, the registration check-in area, the chip timing, obviously a big factor, the results area, the first aid area. We would have to have two ambulances on site as well as first aid people. The gate, a big area as well, the entrance, the different people, the athletes have to get in a certain way, the spectators have to get in a certain way. There's going to be, you're going to have to buy your ticket online to get in. So that's only an example of some of the things that are required to host the thing. There's going to be catering as well, has to be done, possibly outsiders, possibly within the group themselves. So, but we have the leaders. The leaders are there, they've been there, done that, and it will be a great success. And hopefully the weather will be reasonably good.
Yeah, and any visitors coming to the county will obviously get the great Donegal welcome that they always do, Miles. And from those that are competing, I suppose, Letterkenny and Finn Valley, who were successful in 2021, that's now in their home county. They'll be looking to defend titles that they won.
They certainly will. Maybe if I just run through how the Donegal athletes, this is the senior athletes, and we'll maybe mention the underage as well later. But the senior women last year, Letterkenny Athletic Club, were the winners. They defeated Lee Vale fairly tight. I think there's 11 points in the difference. So Letterkenny, defending their championship down in the Rasipenna. The senior ladies were Michelle Finn of Lee Vale Athletic Club. She is an Olympian. She was the winner last year. Roisin Flanagan, the Tyrone lady running for Finn Valley, she finished in third. And Anne-Marie McGlynn of Letterkenny finished in sixth. And the combination of all the Donegal female athletes won the inter-county, beating Cork and Dublin. So it's not every day that Donegal are going to be able to beat two big cities like Cork and Dublin. And in the junior women's event, Finn Valley were the winners last year from Yohol down in Cork and Ennis Track Club. So again, they'll be defending their title down in the Rosapenna. So, and there will be others, athletics very strong in Donegal, and as well as the seniors and under 20s and under 23s, you also have the under 12, 14, 16, 18. It's even age group competition. And as you know, on a Sunday after Sunday from Patsy McGonigal, Donegal athletes do very well in Ulster and indeed in national competition.
Yeah, I'm just thinking here, Miles, we're talking about Letterkenny and Finn Valley. We can't forget about the host Cranford. They'll be looking to put up a big showing on their home turf, so they will.
Well, they will indeed. And they competed in the Ulster Championships under 12 to under 18. There was eight races in total, and two of the winners, the individual winners, came from the Cranford Athletic Club. So that's 25% as numbers of athletes competing against the rest. They didn't have 25%, so they were punching away above their weight, and they qualified a team and many individuals as well to compete for either the club or the county, or indeed province. In that age group, you're talking about provinces as well. So they have three chances of bringing national medals to the area.
Yeah. On the international front, Miles, as we know, last year Ireland picked up gold in the under 23 men, and they also had silver as well in the under 20. And there's several of those athletes will be coming back to try and retain national titles and medals that they won at a national level. So it makes it even more competitive when you take it outside of the local runners, what we expect from those who are coming from, I suppose, a level where they have already tasted success at a European level.
Exactly. So, Oisin, it just shows the standard of the sport on a European basis when you have an Irish team under 23 winning the international under 23. And as you say, the under 20s finish in second place. And in that under 23 team, many of them are actually eligible to compete again. So they'll be fighting among themselves, first of all, to get on the Irish team. I think it's the first three are automatically selected, and then it's up to the team selection thereafter, because some of these athletes could be a scholarship in America and so on. But it just shows the standard. Can I make a comparison? I'm not running down soccer. Don't get me wrong. The point is that you may remember there very recently, Ireland were trying to qualify for the European Under-21 Soccer Championships to get to the finals for the first time ever. And here we have, at the roughly the same age, under-23s winning European titles. So that's the level that they're at. So anybody that's anxious to see top-class athletics live, the place to be is the Rosapenna Golf Resort driving range on the 20th of November.
Yeah, I know we mentioned Eamon Giles at the start. He doesn't get too excited about things, Miles, does he?
Well, if you're in the job for 61 years, you seem to be able to handle all that at your ease, as it were. It's not that he's not passionate about it, because I can assure you he has been passionate for the last 61 years, and well, it shows in the results, and it rubs off on the results. And I'll give you a good example, a little bit of an ad from Cranford Athletic Club podcast. I've been speaking with Amber Barrett very recently. It will be going up on Cranford's YouTube and Facebook page. And she gave a glowing recommendation for what she did as an athlete before she turned to soccer and how it's actually helping her now in her soccer. You know, she got that wonder goal that takes the Irish team to the World Championships in Australia and New Zealand. But she gave a glowing recommendation to what Eamon had done. And even in the training that she does now in Germany, she's using tips that Eamon gave her back in the day.
Brilliant. Eamon, of course, would have been very, very proud of Amber and her recent achievements. And we'll be speaking to Eamon in the coming days ahead of the event. And another man we'll be speaking to as well, Miles, is Mr. John Cronin, president of Athletics Ireland, a native again to the parish down there. And then he moved away from home. But with him being president and now a national event in the county as well, it's huge for him and his tenure.
It sure is, yeah. It's a great honour for the whole area, yes, that John has done so well. Well, John showed leadership qualities back in PCC Fulcara as a 14, 15, 16-year-old. He kind of took on the mantle of organising athletics down there. He took that forward then to UCG, as it was back then, and he was on the last winning cross-country team from UCG to win the InterVarsity until 2 years ago. They won it again, and they actually defended it there this year. So then he went to Tullamore Harriers, where he moved up the ladder. There was a Paddy Larkin there, that fantastic man for athletics. He built the stadium down in Tullamore without any state assistance back then. He moved up the ladder, became chairman, went on then to Leinster and moved up the ladder there, and eventually became president of Athletics Ireland. And it's great that he's coming home to his own parish as president of that organisation.
Certainly is. Listen, Miles, we'll be talking more closer to the time about the National Cross Country Championships, which are coming back to Donegal after a 23-year absence. You're going to have a busy number of weeks as well. Always good to see you, Miles, and good to talk to you.
The same to you, Oisin, and we certainly will see, and I'm sure you'll be down to the venue on that Sunday to report back. And can I just mention that another group are coming here. That's Eileen Wagner and RTE. She's coming down the week before to do a bit of recording, and she'll be down on the Sunday And of course, we have live streaming. It's the first time the Senior Cross Country Championships will have live streaming. And 8 out of 10 productions from Milford. Peter O'Donnell's the man behind that. He'll have 5 cameras, a drone, a commentator at the venue, commentator on stream. We're trying to push the boat out as best we can.
Thought you were going to tell me he's putting you into a helicopter, Miles, for commentary.
No, I'm not doing any commentary.
Listen, Miles, good to see you. All the bases covered there. Good man. Talk to you soon, Miles.
Thank you, Oisin. Thanks now. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's Miles Gallagher speaking to me in the first part to offer previews of the National Cross Country Championships, which are taking place later this month on Sunday the 20th. And you can watch that interview in full. It's available now on our YouTube channel and in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. There's also Ulster Cross Country action taking place here in Donegal this weekend. It's the Provincial Novice Championships at the Finn Valley Centre. It's on Saturday, November the 5th, and there's an 11 a.m. start there with almost 1,300 athletes entered to compete in the Ulster Novice Cross Country Championships being hosted by Finn Valley this coming weekend. We will, of course, have a wrap of all the results with Patsy McGonigal later on the day on Saturday Sport. On the colleges front, the ATU Donegal men's Gaelic football sides lost for the first time this season on Wednesday, going down to University Ulster at freshers and senior level, with both games played at the Donegal GAA Centre in Convoy. The seniors suffered their first defeat of the campaign, losing 15 points to 9. With wins over Queen's and St Mary's, ATU had already qualified for the Division 1 quarterfinals before last night's loss. The defeat means that Letterkenny men miss out on a home game in the last 8, while Jordanstown topped the section to give them an advantage in the knockout phase. ATU Donegal manager is Max O'Kern. He spoke to Michael McMullen after the game last night, where he felt it was a case of missed chances for his side in the UUJ game.
8-2 at half time or something, we're 6 points in it. But we whittled that down quite well, very quickly, and we left ourselves in a really good position. A couple of bad wides at a crucial time when we were starting to turn the screw, and then the wind kind of died, and they got a second win, so to speak, from that. And we had a really good goal chance that probably, you know, would have put our noses in front for the first time, and that would have been a big help to us. And, you know, really would have tested their mettle at that stage. But listen, you got to credit their, you know, game management and how they handled the game. And, you know, it's a They set up a 15 behind the ball with playing with a gale force wind, so you know that's bad and all. We're supposed to be in Donegal. I don't think I've seen that too many times. So that made it difficult for us to get any, you know, scores on the board in the first half, and we missed a free and missed a 45, and had another wide or two that probably we should have got. So look, probably a story of missed chances, but I think ultimately I think they were hungrier than us and outfought us, to be honest, more than anything. I think that's the most disappointing bit.
The thing that was at stake most of all was either a trip to Dublin or a visit from the Dubs. So where do you sit now in the competition? An impressive start. What have you got out of it so far?
Well, look, we're only very new to Sigerson football, and all this, the Ryan Cup, but look, as an institution, we're only in our third or fourth season, and you know we're up against teams that have been playing on it since day dot, and to go into the Dublin and beat Queens, you know, is no mean feat, and then to beat Mary's the week after is another big achievement for us. So look, I think we had a real good chance tonight to win this one as well, and we're very disappointed, because I think we could have topped the table, and as you say, a massive prize would have been a home draw rather than having to head for the capital in 2 weeks' time. But look, it is what it is. We don't blame but ourselves, and we just take it on the chin and get ready for Dublin.
The bigger picture, what does this group do for Donegal football?
Yeah, look, I think it's a huge benefit to Donegal football, because you have guys that are getting ready for an under 20 campaign, and some guys heading in towards a senior setup that are playing highly competitive football at this time of year. And you know, when the league kicks off in January, it's very early this year. You know, it's generally the breeding ground for up and coming and aspiring into county players. And you know, some of these boys are getting a head start. They're getting a better, you know, competitive football and a bit of training at a time of year when maybe some of the guys in the middle age groups are and definitely older groups are not getting any. So you know, they should be landing their feet into a senior setup with a wee bit of work behind them, and look, that surely would be a help to them individually. But you know, I think at the same time, for Donegal as a county, it's providing, you know, our students with the chance to play level football and get a really good education at home now, and I think that'll help Donegal in the long run.
That's Max O'Kern, senior manager of the men's Gaelic footballers at the ATU. There was also defeat for the freshers, who went down 3-11 to 1-4 to their Jordanstown opponents. Luke Barrett's side must wait now on the outcome of next week's St Mary's Queen's game to see if his side will qualify for the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, the hurlers of ATU and Donegal are back in action this evening. They're playing ATU Connemara. That game is also in Convoy. Donegal are looking for their second win of the campaign. Finally, just two pieces on boxing for you before we wrap things up. Rafoe's Leah Gillen will feature in the National Senior Championship Finals. That's tomorrow night, Friday evening, at the National Stadium in Dublin. Leah will lock horns with Portlaoise hotshot Tiffany O'Reilly in the 70kg decider. The Donegal puncher will be looking to capture a seventh national crown. And Dunfanaghy Boxing Club, they've got a major tournament taking place this weekend. It's at the Osamond Centre on Sunday the 6th. There's going to be 14 quality contests down for decision there. Fighting gets underway at 5 o'clock on Sunday. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news from me, Oisin Kelly. Have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.